This is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and part of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But the others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
तब जो कोई भी प्रभु के नाम से पुकारेगा, वो बच जाएगा।
Pero todos los que invoquen el nombre del Señor alcanzarán la salvación.
Alors quiconque invoquera le nom du Seigneur sera sauvé.
Und soll geschehen, wer den Namen des Herrn anrufen wird, der soll selig werden. 那些苦求主名的人都要得救。
You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man appointed to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from the death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power.
This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, his Jesus, whom you crucified.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all those who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and meat.
Awe came upon everyone, because many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. It's a long reading
today,
but it's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us so many places in the life of the early church. And most importantly today, it celebrates the festival of Pentecost, which is why some of us are wearing silly hats. Some of us are wearing lots of shades of red, and there is a... this decor above us, because today we are celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Remember when John the Baptist said in the Gospels, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And that's what happens in our reading today on Pentecost, which is the Jewish Festival of Weeks. The Jewish Festival of Weeks is held 7 weeks after Passover, and that is where we are. We are 7 weeks after Easter, 7 weeks after the Exodus out of Egypt, out of slavery into freedom, from death to new life. On this festival, the Jews would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the wheat harvest and also commemorate the giving of the Torah, the Jewish scriptures, the law. And at this celebration, God gave the people the gift of the Holy Spirit. While there were pilgrims from so many different lands in Jerusalem, speaking different languages. As we look at this reading today, I think there are so many different places to find ourselves in the text, to identify with these different characters. The first place people usually go is with the Jews from the foreign lands who heard these different languages being spoken in a place where they didn't expect to hear them. How many of you have had that kind of experience, traveling abroad and suddenly you hear English where you did not expect to hear it spoken, right?
I hear all this stuff right near where I live.
Uh-huh.
I never know what language.
New York is the center of cosmopolitanism. So many different languages. But still, so I speak Hindi. That was one of the languages
right.
I spoke.
Reading
yeah.
That's why I have any idea what it was.
And when I hear Hindi being spoken on the subway, my ears just zip right over there, and I'm so curious, what are they talking about? And they don't know that I understand, you know, but I'm so curious. And I'm sure that's what these foreign Jews in Jerusalem were thinking. They were thinking, what are these people doing talking in my language? What are they saying? And immediately attracted and want to hear, what is this message, and how is it that they know my language? Another place for identifying with characters is with the apostles. What would it be like to be them? To have the Holy Spirit descend upon them in tongues like flames and to speak these foreign languages.
Did the apostles speak foreign languages?
Yes. What would it be like to have your mouth move in strange ways? I wonder, did they understand what they were speaking? Did it sound different to them? Did they still feel like they were in control of their bodies?
I didn't know what they were saying.
What is going on there? And how would that feel How does that feel to be called to a new place to do a new thing? Something that you have never done or spoken before. The gift of the Holy Spirit and their ability to speak in other languages wasn't actually a gift for them. It was a gift through them for others so that others could hear the good news that they had to share. I think about how the Holy Spirit, who's an advocate and a comforter for us, also sometimes leads us to uncomfortable places where we feel maybe a little out of control, where the benefit for ourselves is not immediately apparent, but rather we are called there as servants to do God's work. In God's ways, we often quickly discover are not always the ways of the world. And when we are called to those uncomfortable places, that can make us feel uncomfortable too. And there's a third group of people that we might identify with in this text. And that's the local people who heard Peter's speech and might have felt a little uneasy about it. Right? Usually churches cut off this reading after Peter finishes quoting from the prophet Joel. But it's really powerful to read on and realize what happens as a result of their speaking in tongues, as a result of receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit, and see that the Holy Spirit has a purpose. And that purpose is to bring all people, from all different nations, languages, and races to faith in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. And so Peter is speaking to two different audiences here, right? It's not only the foreigners who heard their other languages being spoken, but he's also speaking to the local people of Jerusalem, of Judea. And those are the people who participated in, or at least stood by silently, as Jesus was condemned and crucified only 7 weeks earlier. And I wonder what they felt like, right? Because Peter is telling them that the one that they had rejected, that one is Lord and Messiah and has risen from the dead. And to confront that, I think, would be truly terrifying. It meant that they had been in the wrong, that they had missed the presence of the Lord in their midst. I think about how I react when I realize that I was wrong about something. First of all, it takes me a very long time to admit that I was wrong about something, right? And second, when you finally accept that, there is a whole chain of other things that has to happen. How do you go about righting that wrong? Where do you admit that fault? To whom and in what ways? And in what ways do you make amends? And that is exactly what the people here are saying and doing, right? Sometimes we have an idea about the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is just something like nice and comfy and tame and just keeps us company when we feel alone. But the Holy Spirit is wild and ferocious and uncomfortable. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of the places that we are wrong. And it is uncomfortable to be wrong. The Holy Spirit is not only about comforting. The Holy Spirit is also about opening our eyes to see things that make us uncomfortable. But again, that's for a purpose. That's for the purpose of turning our hearts, right? Repentance, the word repentance means to turn your heart. This isn't just something mental. It's something physical, right? What does it take to turn your body? What does it take to turn your heart? And that's really where we need God. And that's really where we need the Holy Spirit. And that's most of all where the Holy Spirit is at work in this text, is in turning people's hearts so that they turn to Peter and they say, what must we do And his response is so simple. It's not, okay, first you need to do this, and you need to make these kinds of amends, and you should pay this kind of tax to the temple, and all these, this laundry list of things. He just says, repent and be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. It all happens all at once like that. Boom. And then notice what happens to them in the text. Notice what happens. Their lives change.
When
their lives change radically.
Look
what they do. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. They had glad and generous hearts. And I wonder, how have our lives been changed by this message? Not in the sense of now you're blessed with material goods, because we all know that's not what happens as a result of faith, right? But what happens is that inner transformation, that you are changed from the inside out, that you encounter the world now with a glad and generous heart. The Holy Spirit is mysterious and has many functions, but there's one big thing to take away today, and that is that the Holy Spirit is given to us for a purpose, and that is so that we might share that good news that turns hearts, that changes lives. When they had the tongues of fire, they spoke of God's deeds of power. God's deeds of power are not good news unless you feel powerless. And you need a God who can come in and do something powerful in your life, in the world, in the lives of those that you care about. The gift of the Holy Spirit helps us to see where and how God is at work in the world and in our lives. It helps us to see God's deeds of power here and now. And so I ask all of you, where is God at work in your lives? Where is God calling you? Where is God calling the church? Where is God calling St. Lydia's? Where is God calling our world? Remember, the Holy Spirit both comforts us and calls us to uncomfortable places. The Holy Spirit blesses diversity and makes us one in Christ. The Holy Spirit proclaims God's deeds of power and makes them manifest in our world. And so tonight we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes and our ears. Turn our hearts. Show us your truth and your light.